from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Final hour fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. 400 plus on YouTube. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. DFW Sports Station. I see Tejano Boy, the Burner Account, Workout Jerry, Kid Cowboy, Terrence. See all of y'all chatting up in there. You're appreciated. You're appreciated. All right, we have Nick Harris from DallasCowboys.com. He's been doing great work out in Oxnard. He will join us at 9:20. Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece at 9:42. Quick Cowboy Clips. Before we get to RJ's Diamond Cavs, the radio content, not his actual body. I don't know how your Diamond Cavs are doing physically as of late.
They look fine.
They do.
I was walking behind him on Saturday.
I mean, they're lean and cut.
Yeah, drop a little bit.
Emmett Smith on with RJ Ochoa talking about the Cowboys contract drama.
With CD and the Dallas Cowboys today, let's make this very clear. He is a very, very valuable asset to the Dallas Cowboys. He is a very, very valuable asset to Dak Prescott. Without him on the football field, they're putting all the pressure on Dak Prescott now. And that is unacceptable because every quarterback of his caliber should have quality people to throw the ball to. Not no plan B or no plan C or no plan D guy. He should be in a position as your franchise quarterback. He should be in a position to be successful. And right now, you're putting him behind the eight ball. And that is not right. And that's how I see it.
Starting right before the Super Bowl, including the Super Bowl with us, I have loved how Emmett Smith has just trashed them. He has gone right at their throat. No, Deion Sanders, Jerry's the best. You know, sometimes Michael Irvin can be a little bit guilty of it, but Michael has gone off on them this offseason as well. But I love Emmett just being relentless and cutthroat in terms of attacking the front office and the way they do things. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL Insider, with an update.
Well, they are going back and forth, I'm told, from a source with the team on a contract potentially. They're hoping to get this done sooner than later. They are not close or imminent on a deal, but the sense is, talking to people in Dallas, that they're further along with CeeDee Lamb than they are with Dak Prescott on a new contract. So the feeling is, if they could just get Lamb done somewhere around or under that Justin Jefferson number, we're talking well over $30 million a year, then they can double back with Dak Prescott, try to do both before week one. It's a tall, tall test for Dallas.
Boy, that would be, I would be stunned if they were able to get Dak done by himself, much less get Dak done after also negotiating CD instantly in terms of before week one.
Well, no, they would need a vacation.
No way.
Spring break or something like that.
Zero chance they negotiate two massive deals like that before week one. I don't believe. I don't think they have that.
They've had like all this time to get up to the goal line.
Because it becomes such a messy process. They have had all this time to get up to the goal line, and they haven't. Like, they're still,
Here's how I'm interpreting it. I'm just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jerry and Steven, I believe, know what they're... I hope that they know the number they're eventually going to give. They're just, like, waiting as long as possible to not move off that number. Like, when it's time to flip the switch, they know the number that they're going to give into and get this done before the Browns game. And probably, I don't know if the same is for Dak, because Dak is obviously here and practicing and playing. Maybe this carries into the season. I just assume with the Lamb thing, they're like, look, we know what we're going to pay. Or just dragging it out as long as we can.
Yeah, probably. And it seems like a silly way to do it to me. Like to just drag your, like to go kicking and screaming the whole way. Just make it easy. Like, get his done. His should have been done. I can even understand. Like I said, I'm a big Dak fan, but I can understand when people.
Can I argue that the guaranteed money aspect, you said yesterday the guaranteed money affects outs. I don't worry about that whatsoever because you're signing him. He's going to be here in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Could I argue that the guaranteed money holdup, if that is true still, is about Jerry frugality? Like, because it's not affecting the cap, right?
No.
So is Jerry just like, I don't want to pay an extra $7 million. I don't want to pay an extra $6 million. And it's not even affecting the cap. Do I look at that more out of Jerry's own pocket? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if he were to view it that way, if they assume he's going to be here over the course of 4 years, for instance,
yeah,
then the guaranteeing more money over those 4 years doesn't impact how much Jerry has to pay. Like, Jerry, if Jerry's planning on paying that in year four, whether it's fully guaranteed or not, because what they'll probably do, what they have a tendency to do, is just roll money, take money's turned into bonuses and kick it down the road. That's ultimately not going to be any more extra money he has to spend. So, like, I think it's worse if you're telling me for CD specific. Now, if you're worried about liabilities and you are concerned CD could get hurt, I don't know how long, all that, fine. But if you're not concerned about that, then there's no reason to be haggling over the guaranteed money.
So repeat what you said about zero chance of what happening?
I don't think there's any chance they get Dak and CD done before week one. Because it's such a painful, like, just drawn out process that they're going to have to be devoting time to get Lamb done and get that finished, that I don't think they're going to have enough time to finish things up. Doesn't mean they can't get something done during the year with Dak, but before week one would seem really unlikely.
Would you say there's a chance that Dak would say no once week one happens?
That Dak could say, I'm in football, I don't want to do it anymore?
Yeah.
Possible. He hasn't said that publicly. Ian Rappaport suggested that the other day, had said it could be a case of once he gets to the season that he's done. Some players approach it that way, but he hasn't said that. No, there have been players that have done that.
Rangers lose to the Red Sox yesterday in extra innings. Even after taking the late lead, their bullpen gets blowed up. Jaron Duran suspended 2 games for the homophobic slur. So baseball took his salary for that. The Rangers are 8.5 games back in the West. The Armpit and the Mariners remain on fire. 4 straight wins for Seattle, 6 straight for Houston. Astros are up 0.5 game in the AL West. Give us some diamond calves.
Yeah, they are taking his money. That suspension, it'll be $8,172. That is his fine because he earned $760. So it's two game check. So he
$8,000 per game.
No, total.
$8,000 total.
Right, he will lose. Yeah, $8,000 total, and it's going to be donated to FLAG, PFLAG, Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays.
That fixes everything.
What?
That fixes everything.
Fixes it all. Right. Yeah. Just an $8,000 donation should fix all that.
What would y'all's punishment
have been? I don't know what the right punishment would be.
You guys are mocking this one, so you must have.
It just seems like eight grand seems very low.
It's not even that.
Well, it's off his salary.
I know it's off his salary.
I don't care if it's $8,000. I don't care if it's $20,000 or $100,000. Like, it's not the number to me. It's the signaling of, like, it just seems so, it seems like an unnecessary attempt to just, like, let's, in fact, when we find him, we're going to take the fine money, we're going to put it towards this cause over here. Just, if you got a punishment for him, punish him, and, like, let that be it. You don't have to then, like, start distributing out fine money.
Getting mad at baseball for giving it to a cause?
I think it's silly. I think it's silly to take it as like a public, like, hey, and to further smooth things over, we're going to do that. If you want to punish him, fine. Punish him and be done with it. And that's the end. I don't think you need to then signal to the rest of the world that, oh, we're doing this in this area and we're making it all right.
So he gets the two-game suspension. It doesn't appear that he's going to appeal it.
No wonder you didn't do Sandler's charity for the kids. You didn't shave your head for those poor kids.
So while the Rangers are falling further and further and further out of it, there is still some stuff going on in Major League Baseball that we could talk about here. For example, now we know the AL MVP is really a two-horse race at this point. It's really a one-horse race. It's Aaron Judge's to lose if he gets hurt or something like that. But you know, Bobby Jr. is trying to make a little bit of a push. Batting like .480 since mid-June, just an insane number. And he, you know, more and if look, the Royals make the playoffs, he's going to have a legit case because he does lead the league in batting average and runs. But you know, Judge leads in just about everything else. It was looking like Shohei was a shoo-in for the NL MVP. That's not the case anymore. Ketel Marte has pulled ahead of him in WAR, which whether you like that said or not, a lot of teams look at that to value players. A lot of voters will judge MVP awards on that. So that's really a two-horse race. The National League and no league, neither the American or National, has ever had a batting champ below 300. Ever.
Wow.
In the history of the sport, neither league has ever, the lowest NL was a 313 batting average by Tony Gwynn, and the lowest AL was a 301 by Carl Yastrzemski in 1968, which was the year of the pitcher. They lowered the mound.
Wow.
After that year. Okay. Right now, it could happen. There are two guys in the National League that lead that are above 300. Trey Turner is also at 301, but he right now does not qualify because he hasn't played enough games. Luis Arraez is hitting 306. Marcelo Zuna at 301. Marte, 299. Shohei, 298. Profar, Alex Baum at 297. Profar, man.
Man, there's a lot of top 10 names there that like a casual sports fan just would not know.
For sure.
For real.
For sure. But we are really,
or me,
in a position where the National League might have a batting champ hit under 300. And there are a lot of old school baseball fans who absolutely despise where the game is because the batting average is not a thing. And it's all exit velocity, it's slugging percentage, it's OPS, OPS plus. I mean, those are good stats, but batting average is like the old school. It's like not.
I've viewed that as a technician. I was actually thinking about this last night while watching the game. I'm like, man, just watching a guy go up there, and I knew he was just a singles machine. He was a technician. I love Brett Butler, whether he's dropping bunts. Now, a lot of that is nostalgia, I believe, you know, growing up, you know, kid, you know, playing baseball as well. But as someone who just, you know, could lead the league in doubles, Bassick said, like, the Rangers were dead last in baseball in doubles.
Or right there. It's like, you know, in football, imagine, like, you know, now, because I equate batting average with touchdown passes. Like, it's important, but it doesn't tell the entire story. Right.
Oh, but it tells a story,
right? It tells a story.
No, it's telling a league-wide story right now, though, about how just pitching has a clear advantage over guys at the plate, right?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because does it? 20 game winners. You got to go back to 2017 to not have a season without a 20 game winner. And before that, you got to go back to 2009. We are in danger of not only having a 20 game winner, not having one, but not having an 18 game winner.
Wow.
18 games is the lowest for a single season wins leader in the history of Major League Baseball. We have right now a handful of guys, Seth Lugo, Carlos Rodon, Grayson Rodriguez, Tarek Skubal, Chris Sale. They're tied with 13 wins. There's 40-something games left. What do the Rangers have? 43 games left?
Something like that.
So if you're a major league pitcher, do you even have five starts? If you don't have 50 games left, you got 10 starts left? Are you going to get five wins? So you're going to need one of those guys to get five wins over the next, you know, 40 games. Now, Rodon's won four starts in a row. Cool. Rodriguez has a shoulder strain. Lugo had nine wins by the end of May, but You know, he's got a, you know, he's 3-4 in his last 10 starts. You know, Scooble and Sale don't always get run support. We may not even see 18 wins by a pitcher this year.
Still a pitching advantage, though, because right now they say, like, it's getting close to, like, the lowest average, league-wide average in the post-dead ball era. They were hitting 240 for most of the year. That is 67 or whatever you referenced.
Right,
the year.
68.
That's the last time batting averages were this low in baseball.
And real quick, the White Sox chase for 120-plus losses. They would have to play 350 ball the rest of the way to avoid 120. They've played 235 ball this year to date. So they would have to get hot. They got to start losing 2 of 3, not 3 of 4. They, though, last night beat the Yankees by 10 runs. We are talking, so it's the largest margin of victory over from a last play for the worst record in the sport to beat the best, most wins in the sport. They beat him by 10 runs last night.
Are the Yankees back up with the most wins in baseball?
They are tied with the most wins in baseball.
Because there has been
They're half game back of Baltimore in the East.
There's been nothing but a New York meltdown for a month. That's all I read. That's all I hear.
Well, Baltimore hasn't
played
great.
They're so bad, they let Craig Carton call Yankee games.
Well, they're trying to find John Stolling's replacement. So they're just kind of cycling through a bunch of
Was Craig Carton a possibility?
I think they gave him. They threw him a. He asked for it. They threw him a bone. Which I mean, it's promotion for whatever. But I heard it. It was fun. I think it's better than some others I've heard.
Oh, Bobby wasn't on that group text last night. That's what a commercial break is for.
From a corpse to a felon. Good call, Yankees.
Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station. Back out to Oxnard, California, Mr. TV star. He's covering all the drama out there. Nick Harris been killing it. He joins us from DallasCowboys.com next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece is coming up at 9:40. Right now, back out to California with Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. And Let me correct myself. Television star. Nick Harris.
Oh, please.
Oh, Saturday pregame. All right, how nervous were you for that?
Oh, no, it was good. It was I had a rep last year, fortunately, in Seattle, so it was good stuff. And then the streets are saying I'll be hosting it this Saturday. So,
the streets,
yeah,
huh?
The streets, yeah. We'll see what the streets say here on, like, Friday. But
because of Kyle Yeoman's triplets? He thinks that's an excuse to get out of it?
It's something like that, right?
Did you wear makeup?
No, absolutely not. In fact, I went back and watched, and man, it gets so hot down there on the field at SoFi. It's like a heat bubble. It is open air, but the air does not come down on that field. So I was just sweating my butt off, and you can see just hair strands all over the place. And I was like, man, maybe I do need a makeup team or something next week.
You gotta have it if you're hosting.
I think you got to. If you're on TV, you gotta wear the makeup.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm there yet. We'll see, guys.
Bobby has some foundation, I'm told.
Yeah, that was really? Yeah. It was not mine. I won that victory.
The side
early.
Piece does.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yes, the side piece. All right, so that's what the streets are saying, is that you'll be out there Saturday. What are the streets saying about CeeDee Lamb? Wow, are we getting
what
any
a
closer?
Segue, Bobby.
I'm trying to move away from the makeup compact.
So smooth.
Yeah, that was good. For me, if the streets are saying that I think this gets done whenever the team gets back to Frisco, I'm still under the impression I would be shocked if he is if we get to week one and he's not out there. I think he's going to have a new deal by then. But I'm starting to lean towards the fact that maybe this doesn't get done until the team gets back to Frisco. You know, his agent was in Paris for the Olympics, for most of the Olympics. You know, he's back in the States, and so there's an opportunity for these two sides to come together. I think whenever everybody gets back to Texas and finally get to the table in person and make it happen.
You know, Clarence Hill tweeted that out over the weekend. Like, everyone relax. CD's agent was in Paris, and then I just
they don't
read
have phones there.
All the responses. They don't have phones there.
No international calling plan.
He's been in Paris for 3 months.
Well, yes.
So I was laughing at
two
that.
2.5 years has been in Paris.
A little bit. Like, hey, that's why the deal has not gotten done. Nick. Has this camp changed your mind at all about what you thought the team was going to be this regular season?
Yeah, there's certain parts yes, and there's certain parts no. I think from a linebacker's perspective, right, I would have to say it's a lot more positive. You know, I truly believe that they were probably bottom three in the league when it came to a linebacking unit at the end of the year last year. Now I would probably say they're a top five in the league. I mean, they have depth, they have numbers, they have experience, they have youth. Feel really good about that unit going into the year. But also it's the running game, and that's probably something that I maybe expected coming in that was going to be poor, and so far I'm kind of being proven to that. While I do think Zeke and Rico Dowd, while I do think that they do have something that could work in that running back room, I don't feel like either of those guys are RB1s, and so I'm very curious to see if they'd go and make a move before the season starts to go get an RB1. In some other aspects too, I think this young receiving core that has stepped up in the absence of CD has done a really good job here at camp. I mean, we've talked about guys like Jalen Tolbert and Jalen Brooks, but man, you look at Jalen Cropper. I mean, that's a guy now who's really starting to threaten a roster spot, and you're looking a guy like Ryan Flannoy. Like, yes, he's a sixth-round draft pick, but is Jalen Cropper not? Is he too good to pass up to give him one of those last spots on the depth chart if they end up taking six guys? So there's certain aspects yes, certain aspects no, but I think overall, I still do think this is a playoff team. I still do believe the ceiling for this team is reaching an NFC Championship game, whereas last year I probably would have told you the ceiling was a little bit higher. They just didn't match that ceiling, obviously, towards the end. But I think at the end of the day, you got Detroit and San Francisco that I think are without a doubt better than the Cowboys in the NFC right now. But I still think they should win the division. I still think that if you get into that divisional game, then, you know, some things could maybe happen for the first time in however many years, 26 now.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Nick Harris here from DallasCowboys.com. Nick, latest update on Chuma Edoga, who was leaving the stadium in a walking boot. And if he's out for an extended period of time, does it really affect anything for them, do you think? Or does it just kind of quicken the conclusion they were eventually going to come to of Tyler Guyton starting week one at left tackle?
Yeah, I feel like that's always been the conclusion, and I think they're just trying to slowly integrate Tyler Guyton into the first team reps, and I think it's happened a little bit slower than anybody anticipated, including the people here, because of that virus that he caught last weekend. And so now that he's healthy and getting back on the field, they're going to have another opportunity with a joint practice against the Rams on Wednesday. It'll be a really good opportunity for Guyton to get a lot of these first team reps. But as far as Edoga goes, yeah, walking out with that boot after the game on Sunday, I would have to expect that he would miss some time this week. We'll be able to talk to Mike McCarthy later this morning about, you know, what his availability could look like as far as a game on Saturday. But you look at the tackle depth, and I think that's probably the biggest thing that Chuma Edoga was fighting for, because you look at guys like Matt Wiletzko, Josh Ball, you know, who do you feel confident there behind, you know, if Terrence Steele were to go down, or if Tyler Guyton were to go down? And I'm not sure that answer has been answered so far here in camp. So I think for Chuma Edoga, it'd be big for him to get healthy and get back on the field just to prove that he's worth that spot.
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, join us here, 105.3 The Fan. You posted a clip from DeMarvian Overshone about what he did during his rehab from the ACL tear. Pate, let's hit it.
When you take that away from a competitor like myself, you got to find little wins throughout the day. So it was times where I go in my garage and with a fly squad and just hit flies all day, you know, just to feel good, just to feel something, you know, reaction time. So just coming off a block, you know, making a tackle, that felt great.
How do you not love this?
Awesome.
I love him.
Yeah.
So Ferguson and Overshone.
He's so genuine.
Yes.
Like, I think he's fantastic. So it's for a lot of guys, it's like, you know, you could play, but the day after the soreness, any indication of how he recovered and how he felt the next day?
Yeah, felt good, and was ready to get back out on the field yesterday during the off day. So he's even more excited to get back out here on Tuesday. He had said in the locker room to me that he was like he wished that there was another game on Tuesday. He's like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get after these guys once again. So he was like, yeah, I understand why they took me off the field after a 12-play drive. Like, I respect that, but I was like, man, I was just getting going. So man, love that kid. East Texas. He grew up about 10 minutes down the street for me in Arp, Texas. So I know a little bit of something about those flies and mosquitoes. Man, you catch it this time of year, it's bad. It's real bad. So.
Did you swat as a hobby?
Or? Oh my goodness, yes, absolutely. Like, as an 8-year-old, that's your entertainment down there. So absolutely, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I think 10 minutes down the street in Arp, Texas is generous. That's 10 minutes down the gravel road or the dirt path to Arp.
Hey now.
And no, that's good. That's
we didn't ride our horses to school.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's the character of Texas right there. All right, Nick, so you mentioned Tyler Guyton there, how he's been dealing with you know, the illness and how that kind of slowed things down for him. He looked like, on that second drive where he came in, looked like he was definitely, you know, kind of breathing heavy and conditioning maybe wasn't where he wanted it to be coming back off that illness. Expectation for him this week, is he full go, or are they going to have to kind of ease him back in a little bit?
I think they're going to have to ease him back just in a little bit. You saw the conditioning. That's a really good point you make there, Bobby. I think just that virus and the nature of it, as he's starting to get back on the field and get comfortable back on the field, that's obviously going to catch up to him just a little bit, because he missed those couple of days of conditioning. But when it comes to conditioning as a whole, I don't see that as an issue with Tyler Guyton. So I think by the time we get to Saturday and he's expected to take more reps against the Raiders, he'll be ready to do that.
All right, Nick, we saved the most important for last. Do you flush every single time you use the toilet, or sometimes you leave a little leftover one in for two or three more cycles?
you know what's
be
funny,
honest.
You know what's funny? I do flush. I'm a big flusher.
Good
but
job.
I had run into an instance about 6 months ago where about four or five nights in a row I would wake up with number one in my toilet, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, I was thinking my dog was doing it or something. And finally, I one of my roommates had caught me just going to the bathroom one night and leaving it unflushed, and that's what happened. So apparently I do it in my sleep, but it hasn't happened in about 2 or 3 months, at least fortunately while I've been out here. So that's the only time I leave it unflushed, is if I'm sleepwalking or something. Maybe I got to get that checked out.
You sleepwalk pee?
Yeah, it was the strangest thing. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, one of my roommates was like, no, I swear, I saw you do it. I watched you get up and go in there and then come right back out and go right back to sleep. And I was like, this is wild. This is nuts to me. But it was confusing me, because I see in the toilet when I wake up and I'm like, what is going on? Like, is somebody pranking me or something? And sure enough, it was me.
Texas William. Wow. Get that on a meme. Get that on a meme. Nick, thank you so much. Keep killing it out there. We'll catch up on Thursday.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the WinStar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly.
I sleepwalked peed one time in the corner of my bedroom. I was like mid-20s. Got up, walked around, peed, went back to bed. And I woke up and I was like, you know, I'm pretty sure I peed in the corner of the bedroom today. Went over there, stood in it, and there it was.
Used to break a lot of stuff sleepwalking. I did.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. How common is sleepwalking? When's the last instance you've had of it? And when does it usually happen age-wise? Like, what's the range?
Oh, for me, it was, I was teenager up through early 20s. And I would like, I mean, I used to get up and like my brother came up and was screwing with me one time. I woke up and I went, oh, who are you? Like, I was just half awake or something. And he grabbed me by my shoulders and shook me. And he goes like, your maker. He was like 12 at the time. And we had these bunk beds and I took his head and I put it between the railing and the bunk beds, and I just started like slamming it up and down between the railing on the bunk bed. And so I've done, I've broken stuff, sleepwalking, like acting out dreams almost and stuff. But that hasn't happened in 12 years.
I've only caught myself doing it once. It was in high school. I woke up and my bedroom's upstairs and I woke up right by the front door. Like I was about to walk out the front door and I was like, I remember kind of walking down the stairs in my dreams. And so I think that's what I was doing. And I woke up and I was like, why am I by the front door?
I remember one time at Sarah's apartment, I got up in the middle of the night and I went to bed and then I woke up on the couch. And I have no idea how I got there. And I was like completely dressed. I have no idea what happened.
Crosstalk with a KMC masterpiece is next on 105.3 The Fan. Let's crosstalk with a KMC masterpiece. It's Kevin Hagelin, Mikey Bassick, and good morning, Corey Majors. What is on the program?
Which Cowboys defender who didn't start last year has the best chance to take that spot right out of the gate? We do that at 10 o'clock. Also, back to school today for a lot of kids. Did you guys... You'll drop off. Are y'all already back at school?
They went back today.
Back today.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Both
for you.
Both these guys getting emotional.
Oh, really?
Oh, did you play Cats in the Cradle?
Tomorrow I have a high schooler.
Okay.
Officially. And I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for the...
Freshman, then?
He'll be a freshman. Yeah. And that's just like, it's like, okay, I've been a dad way too long. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I holy cow, I can't believe I'm that old.
Yeah. For the rest of my life.
With a third one coming.
Well, I mean, we don't What's know about that.
Not, there's nothing.
Gaylord,
baby.
There's nothing going on.
Gaylord, baby.
I heard about the woods last time.
Name yeah. Game. I know. Well, yeah. We got a new place this year.
Where?
So, well, we're going to get a cabin up in there instead of a hotel.
Yeah, oh.
I've seen that movie.
Yep. You know, assuming they don't have cameras in the Airbnb, you know, we're going to.
Why wouldn't you just, I mean, you had a place to sleep last time where you could have done it and you still went in the cart path. So why does getting a cabin change?
Because the cabin will be more, well, we were in a hotel last year. The cabin will be more secluded in the woods.
Oh. Oh, yeah. So the woods by the cabin.
Yeah, the woods by the cabin.
Oh, okay.
We're right in the patio. Sense. Right in the patio by the cabin. You know, yeah. Even, there's probably no neighbors there.
Yeah.
But it's us and the bears. Us and the bears. Maybe the elk. Oh, there's elk. I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Do you mean because the bears are playing training camp in a forest?
No, because they go in the woods.
And Bobby was crying over this Post Malone
song.
Oh, about the daughter. She's mine. She's not yours. Yeah. She's mine. Yeah, I did. I cried too, and my wife was like, "Stupid song." And I was like, "Whoa!" So I got to give up on that one.
They don't get it. They're the they don't have the father daughter relationship. You know.
Oh yeah, that too.
That too. Yeah.
School prep still, like, that caused me anxiety. I hated it. Going shopping and
getting
the notepads and the books or whatever.
Was it the clothes with the school supplies?
All of it. Okay. I hated school. God, I hated school so much.
You and Mike should chat more.
I do. I mean, I hated school too. I do like that kids going to private school, you don't have to worry about clothes. Like, they wear
a uniform, right? Like,
yeah, they wear slacks and button up shirt and a.
How many of those do they get for laundry purposes? Like,
we have, at this point, they each have 3 pair of slacks that are the gray slacks. They have 5 white button-up shirts.
Oh.
At least.
See, I get Little League anxiety thinking about Ollie down the road. Like, is he, because you get one uniform, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how many, be honest.
For
be honest.
Season.
How often have you guys, like, forgotten or been like, crap, we didn't wash the uniform, and he's had to be like the stinky kid the next day.
No, don't worry about
boy,
that.
Boy, I'll tell you what, if you're a boy, they don't care.
They don't care.
And you're just like, hey, yeah. Dude, like, I mean, they will crumble up, like, because they go to baseball or basketball or whatever, they crumble up their white dress shirt, just crumble it up as much as they can, throw it in their bag, which crumbles up, and they just take it out at 6:45 in the morning and put it back on, and you're like, dude. Like, and they're like, I don't care.
You're going to love the cost of private school uniforms, too.
I'm not going to. He's great. Not going to private school.
No, that's why
man
moved.
Of the people. Ah,
that's right. Yeah. Man of the people, baby.
Yeah,
right,
man
baby.
Of the people. Yeah, go to the Sean Mahal. Still say man of the people.
I haven't been invited yet.
Whoa.
Like you would go. Shut up.
I would go. You're like
the Tony. You're the Tony Kornheiser, the
his,
fan up here.
His whole house is built for outside by the pool. Like, the whole thing is constructed so you can enjoy the out the backyard.
Waterfall.
And then you'd be like, no.
No, I'm having a big station party soon.
Ooh.
Yes. As soon as I get my contract signed.
Oh, my God.
Why are you waiting to sign it?
Because the bosses don't show up and be like, all right, nope, nah, not doing this again. I don't want to hold anything against me.
That happened.
So sometime this year, I'll get the paperwork.
My father-in-law ran, he was a construction, he did finishing stuff. No, he did faux finishing stuff. And we went to a client's house, and it was like the first Cowboys owners. It was their house.
Wow.
And he was like, park around the corner three blocks away. And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, I don't want them to see this Lexus. I don't want them to, they see my truck all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want them to see how nice my vehicle is because I'm charging them so much to do this.
You have a child here. That's a life sentence. I mean, it's like, we got you. You ain't going nowhere.
Wow.
Yeah. Have your child after your negotiation. That's my pro tip advice.
Okay, because otherwise you would have played more hardball.
Yeah, I'd be like, I could, you know, I can move, I can go somewhere.
Okay,
and then you know that they once you have a child, you can't go anywhere.
That's what's holding up Dax's contract.
No comment.
I thought that's CD.
What about him?
His agent was in Paris.
No, I was making a joke about having kids.
I'd love to bring this up to Bobby because Bobby hangs out at Frisco a lot. I have this kind of theory. And it's very, to me, ESPN-y. I'm telling you that it's a very low percentage. But yesterday when we got in here, the first thing they were talking about was Bill Belichick's going to be the coach of the Cowboys next year. 2025 is going to be Bill Belichick. Asante Samuel said it, so let's discuss it for the whole show today.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying this for a while. I think that Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders have a possibility. If we want to ESPN it up, I do think there's this connection. There's a connection with Deion. He has a son who is a quarterback who is possibly a first round pick, maybe number one overall pick. Let's see how this season plays out and everything. But can you imagine the publicity and what Oxnard would look like next year if Deion Sanders is the head coach and Shedeur Sanders is the quarterback?
There was a big headline about that yesterday.
Because of our segment, probably.
I don't know who reported it.
It was us.
But it was Jerry Jones having an infatuation with Shedeur. I don't know who reported it.
I would say.
Isn't the headline like right there? Couldn't you just?
Well, it's one of those like websites, which I don't know if I really trust. But I'll look for it, Kevin.
I wonder if they were watching us on YouTube or whatever, because I've had this theory for a while. And yesterday I decided at 12:45, I'm going to bring it up. If they don't do well this year, and they fire Mike McCarthy, and they don't want to give Dak the three-year, $180 million contract, $150 guaranteed. I think that's approximately what...
Something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah. And they're just like, you know what? Deion doesn't want to coach college football. Like, I don't think he has...
Obviously he doesn't. He doesn't recruit.
No. He doesn't want to do that. He's coaching his sons.
That's it. It's always he's coaching his kids.
And as soon as his sons leave Colorado, he's going to leave college coaching. He's like, I don't want to deal with this. I don't have any connection to these kids, and I'm not doing everything to try to have Colorado be a top 10 or 20, you know, to school in the country. I don't know if he cares about going to Florida State or not. I just don't think he cares about that. I think he cares about coaching his sons. And if he can coach his son, who's the quarterback, and he's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. We saw LeBron in a way. I know it's very different. Shedeur Sanders is draftable. Bronny James wasn't, but there was
second round picks.
There was manipulation there. Could Deion and Jerry manipulate Shedeur to the Dallas Cowboys, where he doesn't interview with anybody.
Well, Deion,
he says, I'm not playing for your team. I'm not interviewing. You're not going to know how smart my kid is or how my kid reads defenses or not, because we're not going to see you at all. We're not going to talk to you at all. We have a destination, because I'm going to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and my son is going to be the coach or the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
So, first off, Caleb Williams told everybody, I'm not doing any of your stuff. And the Bears were like, oh, great. Well, we're taking you anyway. Like that's what we're doing. So I don't know that a lot of NFL teams have a lot of arrogance about that sort of thing, where it's like, you are never going to assume you're bigger than us. And
wait,
so,
Caleb rejected the Bears stuff?
Caleb had done the Bears stuff, but Caleb refused to do medicals or workout or anything.
Okay.
And so there's a little bit of that thing where the NFL teams will routinely try and put players in their place of like, you're not bigger than us. And if you try to be, we're going to make an example out of you. The league as a whole took Tom Brady to court and spent $50 million just to put him in his place. I think it'd be more likely that,
but things have also been manipulated in the past, sure, with Eli and others.
Elway. Deion and Shador together,
which matters.
Deion and Shador together, I don't think would ever have a chance of happening. I think there's a better chance, if you told me which has better odds, I think there's a better chance that Shador would be the quarterback next year than Deion would be the head coach, because Shador will, at least as it stands now, I think a lot of people view Shador as a second round pick right now around the league, with the chance to become a first round type player, depending on how he plays this year. So they could be picking in a range, even if they're the back end of the first, where he could be in play. Deion, that strikes me more as like the Manziel pick, where it's one of those things where we'll hear stories about it years later about how, oh, Jerry was this close to just running up there and handing him the contract, and he had to be held back from it. When in reality, probably more like, Jerry would like that. Jerry brings it up and Jerry says it. And at the end, everybody's like, no, we can't do that. And so he goes, all right, fine. Y'all say we can't do it. We won't do it.
It was scouts suggesting that Jerry.
Can you imagine next year in Oxnard if Deion's the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
Give up every other team in the NFL packed, looking for coverage.
Would it be Pat? Yeah.
They can still win.
I mean, who comes out to watch a coach?
I think if it's Deion Sanders and the Dallas Cowboys, it gets insane.
Ask Colorado media.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people are talking to CBS.
It's not just him, because he's connected to all his former teammates still. Like those guys, the stars will come out.
Barry Larkin.
To hang out with him. Saying him.
Don Barry Bonds.
But like those dudes show up. I mean, Warren Sapp's on that staff.
Jose Rio.
In the middle of the night, do you guys ever pee and not flush?
Yes.
Sure.
All the time.
Okay.
First off, I don't want to wake Adrian up.
Okay. Do you sit down so it doesn't make a noise while
I don't do that.
I sit down and pee.
That's fine. At night. Yeah.
Especially at night, because I don't want to. I'm sleepy.
I'm going to turn the light on.
But also, like Kevin said, saving water bill.
Yep.
Really? So how many times will you
just go outside?
Good point.
Man, that is.
Now I got to unset the alarm.
Yeah. How many cycles will you leave it in there before flushing?
I mean, probably just the one.
Okay,
like if you get up in the middle of the night, that's probably it.
Now, during
if you're hydrated, it's clear.
During the day, I don't think so.
Now, does this go for your wife as well? Be honest.
I know, I'm really not sure.
Well, yeah. How can you not be sure?
I've never.
You go to the toilet, you see the pee, you know it's not from you.
Okay,
bam.
But hold on. In the middle of the night, how do you analyze the toilet? Do you just walk up there? You're not like, hold on just a minute here.
There would be paper.
There's
in it.
Urine in here.
With a girl, there's paper.
Okay, I guess she does not, because I don't ever recall that.
Okay.
During the day,
maybe she needs to learn.
Peyton and others are saying they don't flush it in the middle of the night because it wakes up their partner, and I'm not understanding how this is possible, Corey.
It's also very annoying. If you're actually like basically asleep and you flush a toilet, it's a very loud noise and very annoying. So there's my other reasoning.
Corey, it would wake up Adrian?
When I was a kid, this comes from being a child. When I was a kid, I remember flushing the toilet. My dad was like, it's too loud at 6 o'clock in the morning. And
too
I was like,
loud.
All right. So
yeah, I don't
stopped.
Get that.
Or maybe it was just me like mentally
poor
thinking.
Construction in these homes.
But you know what? I'm gonna record my toilet.
To move to
I'll
yes.
record my toilet and let you know.
Man,
how
you
loud
must have
that
a power flush. One of those Al Bundy.
I want to hear it
unlike
in there.
Ours.
I want to hear it. And yeah, the left urinal is like...
It's overflowing.
It's ready.
It's about to. It's so close.
Oh, no. It's filled to the top of pee.
Yeah, we can't have our post-show meeting.
And then I need to hear... I need this from everyone for tomorrow. We need segments to fill anyway, besides the next Cowboys coach.
I know, I've heard.
I'm just kidding.
Wow. Do you want some...
John, I'm kidding.
His team was bad. It was just about humping.
I'm kidding.
You want some marginal Cowboys scoop so it falls on our... day part instead of theirs then? Yeah. All right, Chuma Edoga's got a broken toe. He's out for probably 6 weeks.
Go Tyler.
What do you think about the college football segment name? I like
that's not out there, by the way. That's just what I was told.
You like what? Wait, what did you say, Bobby?
I said that's not out there, by the way. That's just what I was told.
You were breaking news. Cowboys and center by the bell. What was your follow-up comment?
Take that fish.
College football segment at 120. I like big punts and I cannot lie.
Are we just renaming a segment every day?
This one might stick. Okay. We'll see.
Okay. Tweet that out.
So Chuma Edoga will not be available for the first 3 weeks of the season? Is that if he's out six weeks, does
matter.
That
still be there for the meat of the season?
He's going to take this over.
He's got it. Tyler got it'll be probably four to six weeks is what we're looking at.
All right. Report that before you get ripped off there.
Gentlemen.
Who do you think is most likely?
Shut up. The KMC Masterpiece is coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.